That song that was just played, there's an army rising up. Who do we think that army is? Who is the army rising up? Who is the army rising up that she's singing about? If the chains are falling, who is the army rising up? An army don't rise up just to rise up. Armies rise up to deal with stuff that ought not be there. Because sometimes there's an enemy trying to encroach the land. But there's an army. Not just for my family, I got to pray for yours. Do you know you were part of an army? See, I don't care if you call me captain or private first class, as long as I'm in the army. See, some folks got to get a title first. I want to be well trained. Because I tell you, if I'm not well trained, I'm a captain. I can get knocked off if I'm not well trained. See, if I know the word of God, no matter what my title is, no matter what my rank is in the army, I can still survive. Because I'm well trained in the word. I'm not saying don't grab a title, but grab some training. There's an army. Thank God for this consecration service. And put your focus on Romans 12. And as you do that, this message, I might as well tell you, this message is for folk that serious about God. Because you found out it's the best deal on the best day, the best deal on the worst day. You tried everything else. You've been over here, you've been over there, but you finally figured out the best person that I can entrust my life to and with is God. And you come today saying, Lord, the title of this message is God, I'm in. God, I'm in. Amen. I'm in. I'm in. God, I'm in. Whatever you need me to do, I'm in. Wherever you need me to go, I'm in. Whatever you need me to say, I'm in. Whoever you need me to drop off, I'm in. Whatever you need me to drop off, God, I am in. I've been through enough. I'm tired of folk messing with me and promising me this and breaking my heart. God, I'm in. I'm in with you because I found out in your word, God, that you have not given me life so that you could play a game with me. There's too much game going on out here. There's too many folk that you can't trust out here. I love to trust Washington, D.C., but everybody up there ain't saved. I love to trust City Hall, but everybody ain't right. But I found somebody who is right 24/7. Father, we bless your name. We magnify your name. We glorify your name. God, we thank you for this time of consecration and rededication, God. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. Moved by your power divine, God. Bless your word, God. Don't let me or anyone else hinder what you're trying to do and the hearts you're trying to penetrate with your word on today. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Does anyone here remember when you were a child? Any adults remember when you were a child? Okay, all right, amen. Somebody says yesterday, amen. Well, I'm a child of the King, so hallelujah. And when we were children, if there was some type of game or activity that we were interested in, we would show our interest or our willingness by our actions and our behavior. You know how elementary school is, yeah. The teacher said, we're going to do this. And they raise their hands and we want to captain the team. And you would show by your actions or your behavior that you wanted to be a part of what was going on. Somehow you would let whoever is in charge know that you really wanted to play this game or be a part of this activity. Many times if you were selected to play or participate, whether it would be individual or a team activity, there were rules and instructions that we were supposed to follow in order that the game or the activity would be what God has designed it to be. Sometimes there's even a prize for the winner or the winning team. I'm in elementary school. We thought it was great. You play a game, they had prize. They had graham crackers and a little thing of milk. And my God, the kind of stuff that we didn't have in our refrigerator. See, y'all been rich in here because I remember carnation evaporated milk mixed with water in a pitcher. Got milk? That was your cereal. Come on, that was for your cereal. That's what you drink in your peanut butter and jelly. Come on, somebody. That's it. I knew what a cow was, but I ain't need no cow. I did wonder sometimes because the milkman would come on this truck with them glass bottles of milk, cold, but he delivered to my neighbor next door, not to our family. I did not like him. My family, y'all remember Miss Holmes? She was to get the milk on her step. And I wasn't a thief. I'm still not a thief. But that bottle looked so ice cold. I wondered for a long time how that milk tastes. Till I got to school. That little half pint of milk, I thought that was the best thing. Look at here. You were protected. If a bigger person in your class wanted your milk, you fight him. You don't know. That's the only time I get milk from a cow. But as we grew older, we still had to find some way to let folks know whether or not we were interested by our behavior and by our response, if we were interested in being involved in what they were involved in. Well, our whole life we have to let people know if you want to be involved or if you don't want to be involved. And it's based on our response. It's based on what we say. It's based on our behavior. God is not a God without manners. If you and I are not interested in what God has to offer, He won't force it on us. But if we are interested, God is saying to us today, He's not a halfway or a part-time God. God, I'm in. I'm all in. That's the way we do with friends sometimes. Say, look, you know, come on, man, you in or what? We would challenge them, like, don't have me go over here if you're not going to be with me. When somebody say they got your back, question them. Say, how far back do you have my back? Amen. God says to you and I today on this consecration service, you must exhibit a willingness or the behavior that you want in and that you're serious about what He has to offer. In other words, in order to get the full benefits of your relationship with God through Jesus Christ, you must say to God, God, I'm in and I really mean it. God, you can count me in. In other words, God, I'm not letting anybody or anything stop me from worshiping and serving you and from me receiving what it is that you have for me. Because sometimes when you start out, folk mess you up sometimes. Sometimes a church will mess you up. People will mess you up. But God said, well, look at me. If I made a mistake, then I'll allow you to just let me go. So this is saying, God, I'm in because I've been through some stuff already. I learned some stuff. I fell for some stuff, but I'm not falling for it anymore because I know you're the best deal. I know you got it right. I know you don't want to hurt me. I know you want to bless me. I know you want to help me. So if you look at Romans 12 today, what was the Apostle Paul trying to get those that he was writing to understand? And what is he trying to get us to understand today? Basically, when you get to Romans 12, he's saying, from all the things that I've told you, from everything that Jesus Christ has done for you, it ought to be reasonable for you just to come on and present yourself and serve Him. That's what Paul's trying to say. All right. He's trying to say, you ought to stand and say, God, I'm in. God, I'm in for real this time. For real, God, for real. For real. I thought I was in before, but I wasn't. But, I came down front and I gave my life to Christ, and I thought I was in, I got caught up in something. But because of your grace that they just danced about, I still have an opportunity to present myself as a living sacrifice. I can present myself as a living sacrifice because Jesus already died for me. So I don't have to die for the sin because Jesus took care of that and got up. But now I can present myself as a living sacrifice. God, I'm in. God, if you want me, I'm in. Think about that. God, I'm in. That means total. God, there's nothing I'm going to hold back from you. God, everything I have is yours, and I understand it. And I know, God, that you know my down city and my uprising. God, I know I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, but I know you need me in order to do what you want to do with me. I can't do it from a distance. God, I know you can't do this from a distance. You need me to walk up to you and say, I'm in. Like a surrender.
Yeah.
You ever see somebody, the cops been looking for him? Oh, no, no. You ever see somebody you've been looking for, not the cops? And they just put their hands up and surrender and say, you got me. Oh, that's funny. You know how kids play tag and stuff like that. Let's do it like that, okay? And when you find them, oh, you found me. Some of us don't want to be found. God's been trying to tag us, but we don't want to be found. We act like we don't feel the tag. God say, gotcha. We act like we don't even feel the tag. But today, God is telling us that somebody needs to come to him and say, God, I'm in. You already blessed me. You kept me from danger, seen and unseen. God, God, I am in. God, you are blessing me. You're taking care of me. You have never left me. You have never forsaken me. And even in the midst of my trials and tribulations, you've been there because I'm still here. We forget that so often when we're going through something, we get upset with God. God says, who do you think is keeping you in the midst of your storm? Who do you think is keeping the enemy from overwhelming you and from overtaking you and from destroying your life? It's not your friends. It is not your money. It is not your connections. It is not your good looks. It is not all your intellect. It's me, say God. Number one, Paul says we need to do a personal presentation. In other words, grandmama can't no longer, she can pray for you, but she can't present you.
All right.
You got to present yourself. You got to get up and present yourself. Stop calling folks talking about, pray for me, get me the tape. There's nothing wrong with that. But what you going to do with it? God said every now and then I like to see your face in the place. Because my son died for you, just like he died for the person that you called up and said, get me the tape. The person that you on the phone at 1:30, what happened in church? How long did Pastor preach? Did he keep y'all too long? Oh, glory. But when you love God, you know, you don't care how long it takes when you love God. But because everything else we got time for. I do it too. You stand in line for 2 hours for a sale. Good sale. Ain't saying nothing to stand right there. With your money, you're going to pay for it. Ain't nobody paying you to stand there all that time for 2 hours, but you think you're getting a good sale? I'm going to wait. And when it comes to church, a personal presentation, Romans 1 and 2. Tasha read from the King James Version. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. He says, I appeal to you, therefore, my brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God. That blew my mind because in order for me to present myself, he's given me what I need to present myself. It's not somebody to tell you on your job, get the job done. I don't care how you get it done, just get it done. I'm paying you, get it done. No, God said, I want you to present yourself. I'm giving you what you need to present yourself. I'm giving you my son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, got up early, resurrection Sunday morning, all power in his hands. I'm giving you the power, the grace, the mercy to present yourself. I want you to present yourself to me, but I want you to present yourself right. Therefore, I'm giving you what you need to present yourself. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable unto God. Why would God ask you and I to do something that we can't do? He doesn't play games like that. He's not trying to trick us. He's not trying to corner us. Which is your reasonable or spiritual worship. You look in some Bibles, Romans 12 is considered a chapter for consecration of yourself. Then it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. What Paul is trying to say, if you keep on thinking like the world thinks, you're never going to present yourself. Because the mind's going to block out that don't make sense. It don't make sense in the natural. But if your mind is transformed and renewed on a daily basis, then we can determine what is that will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God for our lives. And that's why you got to say, God, I'm in. Because sometimes you got to get all that other stuff out. All that other stuff in your ear, get it out. But we have to make a personal presentation. I will pray with you. I will pray for you. But I cannot present you for you. You must present yourself as a living sacrifice. It shows that, God, I understand and appreciate and accept the fact that you love me so much that when you saw me in my dirt, you decided still to save me. That's what it really says, because none of us is perfect, but God is saying, I love who I made you, but I need to get you back to what I want you to be. But I'm not rude, so I need you to present yourself to me so that I can work in you and work on you. God, I'm in. And then point number two, we need a personal but true assessment, because some of us, boy, we got a high assessment of ourselves. Man, oh man, I tell you, we got that PhD, pile higher and deeper. Lord, Pastor, come back to the reality. Romans 12, look at verse 3, New Living Translation. For by the grace given to me, saith Paul, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself or herself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment. That means be real. Because if you're not real, you will lie to yourself. And anybody around here, don't raise your hand, ever lie to yourself so much you begin to believe a lie? You believe it yourself. And it sounds so good, you start sharing it with others. You ain't do all that. You be talking, you be telling people stuff. You ain't do that. You did not do that. You didn't do that. You just talking it up, you know. But it says, look at ourselves with sober judgment, which means that, you know, be real. Know that the grace of God is on your life, and everything that you and I achieve, guess who? God did it.
Come on now.
It said, look at yourself according to the measure of faith that God has assigned to you. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. Hello, what's your gift? You're members of the body. You got to make an assessment of yourself. Stop trying to be somebody else and be who God called you to be. Because, you know, you never know what that person went through to get to where they are. So don't covet another person's gift. No, I want to be up front. Do you really want to be up front? Let's be up front about it. Do you really want to be up front? Do you know what it takes to be up front? Or do you want to be in the position that God has you in? Do you know what responsibility and leadership actually means? It means that when you present yourself as a living sacrifice unto God, God ain't come looking for you. That you're not looking for excuses not to show up. You're looking for reasons to show up. God said, why would you grab a position? Why would you grab a ministry and not show up? God said, why would you break your neck to be and meet the man on time, but don't meet the man on time? Oh, Lord. Oh, my God. I'm talking about consecration. Presentation is a living sacrifice. God, I'm in. I ain't playing no more. I ain't going to have everything else come before you, God. I'm tired of that game. I let too much stuff in before. That's what happened to me. I got driven away from you, God. And when the devil got me far enough away, that's when I felt that you were no longer with me. I wish I had felt it sooner. But the devil is tricky.
Yes, he is.
Man, he make you feel like you don't need that. You don't need that stuff. Nah, you need to turn TV on. Get you Sunday morning, don't come to church. Turn on the TV. Lay your hands on the TV. Get your healing from the TV. But when you need a benevolent offering. And when you need somebody to come to the hospital, lay your hands on the TV. I finally realized why they got TV service in the hospital, so you can lay your hands. What amazes me is when folks want to present themselves when something's wrong in their life. You ain't seen it, but I'm going to present myself as a living sacrifice today. I got all this hell breaking loose in my life. God, here I am. No. It's our reasonable service on a daily basis to present ourselves to God as a living sacrifice. And God said, what I want you to do today in this consecration, I want you to examine yourself. I don't want you to look at nobody else. I don't want you to blame on nobody else. He said, you're old enough right now, if you're not a child, to be able to take responsibilities for what you have done in your life. And God said, if you think you messed up, I'm big enough that I got an eraser. I can erase some stuff out of your life. I can replace it with the same thing. We need to stop walking around making like stuff is what it's not. Amen. Stop lying to yourself. It ain't it. It's not like that anymore. Grow up. That's what the renewing of the mind is, when we stop playing games with ourselves. We're all members. We don't have the same function, but we're one body in Christ. Individually, members one of another. We are related in this place, whether you want to or not. Amen. We need to bless one another. The gifts are here that we can bless each other with the different gifts. All the gifts are in the church. Some folks just ain't opened the box yet. Some folks ain't got time to open the box. Their life outside of the church is too busy. See, they don't present themselves a living sacrifice. They present themselves halfway. And God said, I'm not a halfway God. I need totally you. Because my son died on the cross. He didn't put half his blood on your life. He totally shed all of his blood for your life. I'm just talking about consecration. I'm just talking about being real. It's amazing to me because if I didn't want to be in the game, why did I make like I wanted to be in the game? And see, I didn't want to be in the game, but I wanted the results of the game. So when they got the prize, I wanted to get the prize, but I didn't do the work. Hello, somebody wants to be blessed, and you haven't measured up. You haven't come in. You haven't really presented yourself to God. Got the nerve to walk around talking about the promise of God. God said, he'll supply my needs. The coding is victory and glory. Well, he needs you to present yourself. That's what the need is. Let me move on. Somebody look at me like, man, if you don't get up off of me. I'm talking to myself, too. Every message, you got to talk to yourself. Amen. Because you don't need one presentation. You need a daily presentation. I wish I had a witness in there. You don't just go to Jesus one time. You go to him more than one time. And every time you go to him, you're not asking for something. Sometimes you just go to him and say, God, I thank you. Look at verse 6. The New Living Translation. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. Lord have mercy. Use your gift. Find out what your gift is and use your gift. If prophecy, prophesy in proportion to your faith. What that means is whatever God has given you, don't go over the bounds. Stop trying to impress folk with your gift. Stay within the faith. Stay within the parameters. I don't care who you saw on TV. God called you in your personality. God. And see, when we do that, God will let us grow. And then he said, if you're going to serve somebody, serve them. Why you got to have the whole church here to serve somebody? Why have I got to know you to Mother Johnson an apple pie? Take an apple pie and shut up. You ain't even baking. Your mama baked it. And you... you taking all the credit. Some folk got to be seen. God said, no, I want you to present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto me. Well, God is saying, whatever I called you, just go ahead and do it. You don't need no fanfare. You don't need no great big crowd to do anything. Right down front here. If you're going to serve, and one who teaches in teaching. God said, if I give you the gift of teaching, go ahead and teach. Go ahead and teach. Why you got to have a full class to teach? When the Bible says there's two or three gathered in my name, touching the green, there he is in the midst. But pastor, you don't understand. Ain't nobody show up for my class. Well, what happened to the Father? What happened to the Son? And what happened to the Holy Ghost? And if you're the teacher, that's four folk in your class. If you build it, they'll come. Stop talking. God never promised you a prize. He promised to give you the gift. The one who exhorts, just go ahead with your exhortation. You got to have a big crowd around. The one who contributes in generosity, go ahead and just give. Where have I got to know? I can't believe Pastor and them didn't pray for my daughter. I gave him $50 last week for him and his wife to go eat. Let's see if I give him $50 again. If you're going to give, give. Why got to be a big thing? Put it in the envelope. Put the name on it. Put it in the basket. Where have I got to know you hit the number? I'm sorry. Y'all got to pray for me. I said, the one who leads with zeal. Don't be overpowering, folks. If you're a leader, lead with zeal. Lead with joy. Respect folk. They may not have the same gift, but all of us have some gift. We're all members one of another. See, you got to be careful when you get into the power base. When you have power, people will listen to you and respect you. But be careful how you use your power. Don't lord it over, folks. And these ministries don't belong to you. I ain't going to let you be in my ministry if you don't cook me a pie. You ain't speak to me last week. You ain't in my ministry. What God is saying to us, when you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, he said there's going to be some things because your mind is going to be renewed. You're going to think the way I want you to think. You're going to walk the way I want you to talk. You're going to talk the way I want you to talk. It's going to be totally different. It's going to be a spiritual relationship. Because they that worship him must worship him in the spirit and the truth. God, I'm in, but God said, don't bring your trash. Don't bring your stuff. Get a trash bag. Put it in there. Then come to me. And whatever you can't shake, I can handle it. The one who does acts of mercy, do it with cheerfulness. Just go ahead and bless somebody. There's a lot of folk in this church like that. Praise God. They just go ahead and do stuff. And you may never even know about it. And it's okay with them. That's how you do ministry. Amen. Because I tell you, if the person received it knew you was talking about them like that, they wouldn't want it. Oh, my God. I just messed up. I just really messed up, Co-Pastor. You're going to have to take me out of here. You got security. Security! Jesus. So, number one, we have to make a personal presentation. Number two, a personal but true assessment. Who are we really? Anybody still playing church? Anybody really hate coming to church? I mean, you hate it. Put your hand down. That was very dangerous. You know what we hate? The stuff that's not church. A lot of stuff in church ain't church. Oh, my God. A lot of stuff ain't got nothing to do with God. Some of the stuff we do ain't got nothing to do with God. I don't have a problem with tradition stuff, but some of that crazy stuff ain't got nothing to do with God.
Oh, I have the people here. I'll keep them here at the 3 p.m. today. Oh, just to have them around.
Service starts at 10. No, let's start at 11. A lot of this stuff has nothing to do with God. A lot of the stuff that we may preach from the pulpit, we've got to make it relevant. And if it's not relevant, you don't need to hear ABC news when you get here. You need to hear what thus saith the Lord. A lot of stuff ain't got nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with God. That's when people get frustrated. But when we come and preach and teach the word of God, when we come together and have fun in the spirit of God, when we begin to fellowship, when we do other things, people respect it because we're family. And when people can feel the love of God, no matter what they are or what they do. It's not what you say, it's how you say it. Right. Some folks do need to be stepped to. It's how you step to them. That's all. We're family. We get on each other's nerves sometimes. You better tell the truth up in here. Sometimes we do rub each other the wrong way, but we're family. At the end of the day, we're all God's children. We're all washed in the same blood. You're not any better than me because your title says something. If you want me to respect your title, then respect me. He who wants respect must give respect. And whoever is being in leadership, you ought to be willing to serve. If you're in leadership waiting for people to come serve you, you're in the wrong position. Oh, come speak to me. Serve me. Uh-uh. Not according to the Bible. The Bible says he who would be first shall be last. In other words, he who wants to be a leader must be a servant of their brothers and their sisters. That's how you get to leadership. And number three, a personal commitment to live like a Christian. That really, we get stuck there because We think we got to be perfect every day. God said, no, my grace. Y'all got any more of those undershirts, those shirts y'all put on the people? Everybody need one today. That's called grace. Y'all got my size? Amen. Thank you. Grace.
It says in verse 9, let love be without dissimulation. In other words, don't be phony. Let love be genuine. If you love somebody, if you don't love somebody, don't tell them you love them. Just say, I'm working on it. Oh, I wish I had a witness in here. So. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly and sisterly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Wow, that's a tall one right there. Outdo one another in showing honor. Humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. He will exalt us in due time. I have to explain this to you because God is saying, don't tell me you're in and not in. See, some people are in until the game gets tough. Then they want out. No, if you're in, you're in. They tell you that in the game, don't try to get out. Don't try. If you're going to get in the game, you're in. They try to kill you getting out. That's what the enemy wants to do. If you're in with God and try to get out, the enemy said, good. Do not be slothful in your zeal. Be fervent in your spirit and serve the Lord. You can't be dragging every time you think about serving the Lord. There's some folks that are happy no matter what they're going through. There's some folks and they tell you what they've been through in their life. You'll be sitting there crying and you came in with your head down. When they get finished telling you what has happened to them and how God has kept them and how God has blessed them, you will lift up your head because what you are going through pales in light of what they just told you. Everybody wants this. Oh, it's me. No, it's not you. It's you coming to God and saying, God, here I am. God bless me. God help me. Then verse 12 says, rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Talking about living like Christians. When you give yourself to God, you can't live the way you want to live no more. Sorry. Amen. Amen. Walls, ceiling, pews, jewelry. Bless those who persecute you. Oh, my God. That's a hard one. That's a hard one for me. Bless those who persecute you. Wow. Because what God has put in you, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Bless those that persecute you, even if it's your husband or your wife. Oh, that's not in there. I put that in. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. And a lot of times once we find out what they're weeping for, you'd be like, I ain't weeping with you. No, weep with them. You know why? Because whatever they caught up in, whatever happened to them, it might be ridiculous to you, but they're trying to come up out of it. So God is saying, if you got the power to help them come up out of it, then weep with them. We are brothers and our sisters keepers. All he says, don't cast your pearls before the swine. If you really trying to get out of something, I'm here to work with you. But if you show me you playing games, I'm out. And you got the right to be out when you find out the person does not really want to be who God is calling to be. You got the right to pull out. You got the right not to cast your pearls before the swine. But if somebody's serious and they're struggling with something, I don't care how many times they go back to the bottle. I don't care how many times they take drugs. I don't care how many times they might run away from the house. God is telling us that grace. Oh, we know when somebody's struggling or not. But don't tell God you're in if all you care about is yourself and your family. If my wife is all right and my kids are all right, it still ain't over. Because I got some brothers and sisters in Christ. I got some brothers and sisters in the Lord that are still struggling. And it might be my turn to struggle tomorrow. That's because I got it today don't mean I'm going to have it every day. But I do know one thing, I got God every day. Live in harmony with one another. My God. That means you got to take the high road sometimes. And that's hard for us sometimes because I love to let folks know you are not getting over. But it's the way you have to say it. Look, I'm respect you and love you, but don't try that again. And you say it right, you know. Don't get the message. Right. Don't you step up in there like that no more. Hello. Oh, Lord have mercy. Hello. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. He's talking about to the giraffe Christians. Uh-huh. Yeah, giraffe Christian. All you're high-minded. Look at them. Been in the church 10 years, same shoes, same dress. Same suit. Look at that family. You're not a Christian. The fact that you think like that, the fact that you can think you are better than somebody and excuse the grace of God. No, this is just you. I told somebody recently, if you don't like what I have, I will meet you after the benediction. Take me to any store you want. I am 50 plus. I know my size. I know my shoe size, pants size, suit size, whatever you want to buy me. I even know what size couch I need for my house. You don't like my house? You don't like my house? Jesus. Associate with the lowly. When you see somebody that is lower than you, associate with them. Who are you? If God didn't clean you and me up. Wow. He's talking about serving folk and being able to witness to people and being able to embrace people. We're just talking about consecration, that's all. Look at this. Be not wise in your own sight. My mother used to say, you too smart for your own britches, boy. Be not wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil. Stop! Wow. How many of us sitting here today, you can raise your hands on this, still trying to get somebody back? Raise your hand, come on, stop lying, come on. Y'all been divorced 20 years. He even forgot your name and to put the ring in for Hawkins somewhere. You put pawn the ring and you repay no one evil for you. How many people still sitting here right now say, Lord God? And somebody said, Lord, before I consecrate myself to you today, let me go make a phone call. Don't get in your car. That means you're going to take care of it before you get back. And then you're going to repent. But it says, a good thought in verse 7 to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, this is it. Verse 18 helps us. So far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. God said, don't blame it on the other person. What can you do to reconcile the relationship? And if you exhausted, can't do anything, leave it alone. You ain't got to get on the phone and you ain't got to get in front of the church and have a testimony on Communion Sunday. I tried everything I could. Y'all know who I'm talking about. I tied the men fences. I took him to left. Then leave it alone. Give it to God. But you can't walk around being evil and mad at folk. You don't have time for that. Because the Spirit of God is trying to speak to you. The Spirit of God is trying to live in your life. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it's written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. That was a hard one for me. Because God said, I'm going to get it back. He said, you can't do like I do. God said, if I want to, I'll wipe out all your enemies. He said, let me handle it. I know how to handle it. Because if I get finished and handle it, you'll have you something to put your feet up on. Oh, I wish I had a whip. But verse 20 said, to the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. Now stop right there. Feed him stuff that won't kill him. I know what y'all talking about. A little arsenic ain't never hurt nobody. I got some leftover stuff. I just clean my victory now. Woo, Lord. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. Not something to knock him out so you can take him over. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. What the kindness is going to melt that person's resistance and evil down. Well, they're going to begin to respect you because you took the high road in the name of Jesus. Because you did not repay them evil for evil. And sometimes if you just wait on the Lord
I remember one time this person was so evil. I said, Lord, it's either me or him. And he took him off the job. Hey, glory. Everything, Lord, where did you get this man from? This man is crazy. He is ridiculous. God said, I got you, my brother. But you got to believe God when he tell you that. He said, just be still. He said, you won't mess around. You got all these years there. You won't mess around and get fired. And you got to deal with Felisa. Okay. Oh, co-pastor for the visitors. It's my wife right here. And then it says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So God is saying we have to present ourselves as a living sacrifice. We have to do a true assessment of ourselves. Then we have to be willing to live like a Christian. What is the conclusion of the matter? We must be mindful of and remember that when you tell God that you're in, that you're never alone because God is in also. When you say, God, I'm in, guess what? God said, I'm in too. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. As a matter of fact, God saw that we were not in and designed a way so that you and I could be in. God designed a way called inclusivity. Whosoever will, let them come unto me. And he presented it, turn with me to John 3:16. As we close this thing out. John 3:16. Lord have mercy. Anybody in? As you hear that, you got to know whether or not you're in. See, you heard the instructions, you heard the rules, you heard what God is saying. He said, you're going to present yourself to me. This is what I want you to do. This is how I want you to look, live, and act. And I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to keep you. I'm going to bless your children's children, and I'm going to keep you from danger seen and unseen. And I'm going to make sure I'm going to supply all your needs according to my riches and glory in Christ Jesus. That's what God is trying to say today. He said, come on in, stop playing me from over there. Look at John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that who? Not just white people, not just black people, not just blue people, not just yellow people, not that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Come to verse 17. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be what? God did not design hell for you and I. Hell is a place that you desire that you go for yourself. That's your you pick your destination. Let me let you know, you pick your destination. And guess what? If you pick no destination, guess what your destination is? Your destination is eternal damnation. Why is that? Because we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is eternal life. So if you don't make any decision, look at verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned. Tell the devil, get out of my life. You can't condemn me. But he that believeth not is condemned already. That's the walking dead. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. The light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. But what is it? What is that you're trying to say? If you're in, what is it? So if you want salvation, all the benefits that go with salvation, if you want somebody that will love you and walk with you and talk with you and care about you and forgive you and bless you and understand you and have patience with you and not gossip about you but rather want the best for you and can give you the best and want you to have the best and to protect you and to provide for you and die for you and get up for you and prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies, if you want somebody that can turn all your mistakes around and make your enemies your footstool and heal you and bless you and your children and your children's children, if you want somebody to give you a gift so that you can use it for his glory and allow his love to abide in you and his anointing to rest on you, if you want somebody that is looking to love you and embrace you and to bring you back to him, his name is God. And all he's saying today, I beseech you therefore, my children, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto me. God, I'm in. God, I'm in. Nobody greater. God, I'm in. Is anybody in today? Yeah. That's what the whole fasting and prayer was about, that we might come closer to God, that all other stuff would fall off, and that God would be the center of our joy. We're striving towards perfection. So we got to say, Lord, here I am. God, I'm in. I can't speak for you as we stand all over God's house. I cannot speak for you. You must speak for yourself. Seriously consider Romans 12 and consider what God has said to you in our 21 days of fasting and prayer. Consider what He said to you even right now. We're going to open the doors of God's house. If there's anyone here, listen, if there's anyone here that wants to give their life to Christ, you need to come forward.